Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. I have my usual cohorts here with me today, Hal and Rainer James.
Yes.
I've got Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
And Kim Fink is joining us today.
Welcome.
And we're going to be talking about technology in the classroom. And Hal gave a report from the local Craven County Commissioners meeting last week, and he'll refresh us on that. But what they did was they voted to provide iPads to every student and every teacher in Craven County. Now, a lot of people immediately says, oh, that's wonderful, that's great. But there's another side to the story, and we're going to try to expose that and talk about that this morning. And then we'll get into some other issues about the classroom. And hope you'll stay tuned, because I think it'll be very informative. But we have a guest with us via Skype, and that's Lynn Taylor. And Lynn is more commonly known as Common Core Diva.
Good name for her, too.
That's her online name. And Lynn does a lot of research. She's from up around Charlotte, Morrisville, isn't it, Lynn?
Yes, it's Mooresville. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mooresville. Okay.
Well, Race City, USA is what they say around here.
Well, we're glad to have you with us today, and we're going to go ahead and take a short break to hear from our sponsors, and when we come back, we'll kick this off.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we've smoked with pecan wood, devil crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we've got a guest speaker with us today, Ms. Lynn Taylor. Hal, give us just a quick overview of what happened with the Craven County school system and the iPad deal.
Okay, I'll try to, just hit the high points, but I would like to kind of frame it by saying that I have gone to most of the Board of Commissioners meetings now for a number of years, and I usually can follow what's going on. This time, there was a presentation by Dr. Megan Doyle. She's the superintendent of schools, and I would like to say that she's a gracious lady, and to her credit, when she handed things to the Board of Commissioners, she also made them available to me, and I really do appreciate that. Then she started talking about her request to buy or to lease iPads for the use of traditional schools. It's a little, not so bad that I got a little bit confused about that, because it was in one place where they made the formal request, they referred to it as a purchase of iPads with capital improvement funds. And then at other places, they referred to it as a lease. And as it turns out, the lease was provided for us all to read. Anybody that wanted to do it could go online and find the lease. And it is a three-year lease from Apple for these iPads. And there are a couple of things that kind of surprised me about it. Dr. Doyle was very careful to explain how it would cost, they could spend less money buying books for children if the books we got online and they could download them to their iPad and take them home and read them or take study materials home that way. And they didn't have to have Wi-Fi at home. That came out too in the discussion. And they talked, she talked about some residual values that the leases would have. She did not address some of the things that I've heard in the past about whether or not a student's mind was prepared to take on information technology at what age. She didn't address any of those issues at all. And another thing that sort of surprised me was she never did say directly what the money, how much money was involved. Now, early on, I can remember back when the county used to allocate $500,000 every year for capital improvements for the schools. And you know what I mean, like new roofs, extensions to schools, new schools, whatever. And then at one point, they raised it all the way up to $750,000. That's where it is now, $750,000. Well, as it turns out, the amount of the lease was included in the agreement, lease agreement that was listed in the back of the agenda for the meeting. And the lease agreement, which had to be renewed every 3 years, and the first 3 years, the total payment was $2,960,368. So that comes to $986,780 per year. So the total amount is getting real close to $3 million. I like nice round numbers because I can remember. And the each payment is getting is pushing $1 million. But the interesting thing, it never came out in the discussion. You know, none of the commissioners mentioned the full amount, and neither did she. So, and the people that were witnessing this thing on television, or any citizen like my, like me, that was trying to follow it, if I hadn't printed the whole agreement, the lease and so forth, off from the internet, I wouldn't have known how much it was. Nobody ever said.
Offhand, how many iPads is that?
It's a little over 8,000. And so they come in 10 packs, and there were two or three slight variations in the type they got. So it was a little hard for me to come up with an exact figure, but actually I estimated 8,390.
Okay. So we've got the school board providing to every student and every teacher, correct?
Yes. And one more thing I'd like to point out. That amount of money comes to more than the entire money allocated for capital improvements each year.
You're saying that really there's no money left to take care of the brick and mortar building.
Exactly. Even if they needed to put in a new parking lot or a garage or a playground
heating system,
or heating system or move you know, put an extension to a school. And I talked to a businessman within the last couple of days, says his daughter's school is way overcrowded.
There weren't any federal grants or federal monies?
There's something called Title I money, and there was a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of debt.
What about the investment that Craven County Schools has made the last several years for Chromebooks?
I'm not aware of that, Kim. Thank you. I don't really know.
It just seems like we have been going on a technology round for the last couple of years, and every year they've been asking for more money for the Chromebooks because of the online assessments that they were doing. And
so what you're saying is we're switching from a Google device to a Microsoft device.
That's what I'm
Apple device.
That's what I'm hearing, yes.
Right. I'm sorry, Apple device.
And one of the commissioners, Commissioner Dacey, Scott Dacey, has for a number of years now tried to prod the school system into providing Wi-Fi, yeah, in every home, and you know, where a student is in the whole county. And he brought that up again. And at that point, that's when Dr. Doyle explained it could be downloaded in school and the child didn't really need to have Wi-Fi at home. But he's pushing really hard to get Wi-Fi. When they were talking about putting a cable to go to schools across the river, he wanted to know how many people it could service in case we did want to put the students on.
Now, that what you just said about Wi-Fi does strike a chord with me. I have a Chromebook, and you are useless unless you are on Wi-Fi. So that might be one of the reasons that they are looking at the Apple device that they can download and not need Wi-Fi at home.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened is I couldn't figure out exactly how many, and I knew how much the money was, so I was trying to figure out how much it would cost per computer. And I did ask the IT director for the county, and he helped me figure that out. And I do appreciate that. They were open with me once I started asking questions.
Okay, so what we have is we have the county providing every student and every teacher with an iPad and to replace textbooks so they can get their textbooks downloaded onto the iPad and other things. There are a number of questions that come to mind. The existing infrastructure, what's going to happen to that? Is it going to be able to support 8,000 iPads being thrown on the network there within the school system?
You know a lot more about IT than I do, Rick.
Right. How about security? Are these going to be secure? Are the students going to be prevented from accessing anything and everything on the internet?
They did buy protective devices for them.
You know, the covers.
Yes.
Protective cases.
Right.
Because that's another thing. Breakage and damage and theft, I'm sure some of them will show up missing at some point in time. So those are issues, but there's more important issues.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up, something that bugs me. I remember when we were going to the Academic Standards Review Commission meetings, there was a woman talking about early childhood development, and she was upset about using technology for young children. She said it delayed their motor skills. There's a window of opportunity based on how the brain develops, and I certainly don't know all of that sort of thing, but what she said made sense. And if you're doing the wrong things with a young child at the right time, they miss a window of opportunity. And I specifically remember her talking about using like K through 2, I think.
Right.
Using technology was not a good thing.
Right. Well, that just so happens to be why we have Lynn Taylor with us, Common Core Diva, today.
All right.
I recently read an article that she posted on technology in the classroom and how poisonous it is. So, Lynn, do you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about that?
Anytime you guys need me to jump in, I'll be fine. Let me tell you what might help you guys with Craven County, okay? As far as the state of North Carolina goes, back in 2015, and I just found this afternoon, in a legislative update that we can get online, there was an increase both from the House and from the Senate for the textbook and digital funding. They were proposing to raise it $72.6 million in 2015-2016, $67.8 million in 2016-17 school year, and then $29 million per year for the next 3 years after that. Now, why was there such a big number and then it suddenly gets reduced? Because the plan is, and it started in the legislative body back in, I think it was 2013, the whole state decided we're going to shift to digital only for assessments and for learning. And that's exactly why, because as far as the assessments go, all the online assessments that the state is hooked into, say the SAT, the ACT, the work keys, the NAEP scores, all of those are online. So the state has already been getting everything in line from a legislative point of view to have every county in our state aligned. Now, when Every Student Succeed Act was passed, there was over $89 million set aside expressly for digital and technology upgrades, and the states are going to have to compete for those funds like they did for the Race to the Top funds. Now, part of what that particular money will go for is to get Wi-Fi into every home so that every student can have online educational access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, regardless of where they live.
Wow. And that's all on the taxpayers' back.
Yes, absolutely it is.
There's one more thing I'd like to mention, is Dr. Doyle and I do have a meeting planned for early in September. And if you all have some ideas of things that we need to discuss, I know Kim and you both, Lynn, fought real hard to try to get Common Core out of the schools. And so maybe that I could mention something about that, but it'd be kind of an open meeting.
Okay.
I would like also to learn more about how in the schools, how our nation's history is being portrayed in modern schools, and even how some of our Southern heritage might be being betrayed and things like that. So I don't know how long I'll be able to talk with her, but this is the first time anybody in a school system has ever offered us at CCTA a real opportunity to discuss most anything we wanted to with them.
And that's wonderful. If you can get them to let you talk more than 3 minutes, but that is another shift we're seeing, is that local taxpayer voices are being either muted or greatly reduced in maybe 3 minutes of time. Now, you cannot possibly get into a deep discussion limited at 3 minutes apiece. Now, I saw there was a hand go up, but let me, before I get to that, let me just bring out, in the 2017 Senate Bill 442 wants to study and expand computer science for all based on the Friday Institute's findings. Now, let's remember something. The Friday Institute was one of the chief backers and creators of the Common Core State Standards Initiative in the first place. So now we've got a Senate bill that's based on a Friday Institute study. And we've also got, where is it? In this 2017 budget, I want you to know this, $6 million will be given to the Department of Public Instruction from the Indian Gaming Fund for textbook and digital purchases. Now, one of the things that was brought up was capital purchases. That's with the Title I funding, with ESSA, the Every Student It Succeeds Act, Title I funding got a makeover. Instead of it being targeted support, it's going to be whole school support. And the reason why is so that things like this can go under different funds and be considered a school improvement for student success.
Well, Lynn, tell me, the article that I was referring to earlier, about technology being poisoned in the classroom. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure, I absolutely can. One of the things that is so toxic about the technology, and Raynor has already brought it up, and that is the earlier we're starting our children, and let's remember the Every Student Succeeds Act, which North Carolina is lock, stock, and barrel in on, wants us to start not at kindergarten with digital technology, but in preschool. It's that mandatory preschool for all that Senator Patty Murray was championing around the time that Every Student Succeeds Act was being bannered around as being the replacement for the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. And that preschool, universal preschool for all, covers your child from about the time they're born till the time they're ready to go to kindergarten. So we're going to put devices into these babies' laps where they don't understand what they're doing. It's reshaping, and studies have shown this, and this is why it's one of the things that's so dangerous. Studies have proven that the younger a child starts on these digital and technology tools, their brains literally are stunted, and the brain shape is totally different than, say, yours and mine, because we were able to handle things developmentally appropriate, okay? Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. That's just one of the dangers. The other danger, and this applies not only to our students but to our teachers as well, and this was also codified in the Every Student Succeeds Act, and that is the massive amount of data mining that goes on. In fact, North Carolina has the largest data mining facility storage unit, if you will, here in North Carolina, and it's the largest one for Apple east of the Mississippi, and it's in Maiden, North Carolina. And all it stores is data records from assessments, from students, from teachers, and who knows what else is in there. So this is, again, our FERPA rights, our pupil protection privacy rights are being totally violated.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. When we come back, I want you to talk to us about, do you see any parallels between what we're doing here and what's coming out of the UN. So we're going to listen.
Okay.
We're going to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
What do marine navigation systems, automatic firearms, diesel engines, and home-long sprinklers have in common? Force 5, that's what. Force 5 was created to stop weapons from jamming in sandy Afghanistan, but it can do a lot more. Force 5 solves marine and firearms problems caused by rust, salt water, and corrosion. to clean, lubricate, protect, get Force 5. Anything else is a waste of time. Call Ernie at 252-670-0728 or go to force5-marine.com.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, and Diane Rufino has joined us now. And Lynn, before we went to the break, let me again remind our audience that Lynn Taylor, also known as Common Core Diva, you can find her on Facebook by searching for Common Core Diva. She has been in this battle against Common Core here in North Carolina for quite some time, and she has quite a wealth of information on her Facebook page and other resources, and we're honored to have her with us today. Lynn, I asked before we went to the break if you could talk to us about some of the parallels between what we see going on here, what they're trying to implement in our education system with what's going on from the UN.
Okay, very good. Well, that's an excellent question. The very short answer that I can give you would be collectivism. Okay. Now, let me go into that just a little bit, okay? In one of the articles where I was linking the technology dangers to what's going on in education, even in Craven County or no matter where you are, to the UN, was mainly through the Sustainable Development Goals. Now, that's going to encompass a lot of your green movement. And by you guys being hooked into the peach jar system through your Craven County School Board, that is going to be, if you listen to the directors, the reason they do this is to make it a sustainable effort for your education, supposedly to save money, to save trees. But when you hear educators starting to use words like sustainability, it absolutely factors right into those sustainable development goals. And why I say that technology comes into the sustainable development goals is because out of the 17, everything has to be globally digitized and globally hooked together, because we can't be one big happy world if we're not all digitally connected. So that's part of one of the dangers. The other part is the shift in the psychology for children's education. And in one of those articles, if you'll remember, Rick, I pointed to the two people who helped to pull that off between the UN through the UNESCO and then through the United States through a professorship at MIT. So that's how a lot of this can be hooked together. You're also going to find a lot of the globalness in North Carolina, because we are one of those states who's been first to hook up to anything that's global through Microsoft, the Bill Gates Foundation. Also with Wells Fargo, BB&T, and Weyerhaeuser being some of your community partners there in Craven County in education, they're all global as well. They're going to be hooked into this as well. That also may help explain how some of your capital purchases, or when the school needs a new roof, that those partners may be the ones who end up paying it, or you may find your property tax going up. So that's a big answer to go with that very short one that I gave you.
That's a very good answer. And talking about the globalism, going back to your data mining, does that mean the metadata that we've got will now be shared globally?
Oh, it's already been. And we can thank Dr. June Atkinson for one. the new superintendent has not done one thing that I know of to stop any of the Common Core stuff. In fact, it's pretty much just going on. ESSA will not stop any of the stuff that's going on. One of the reasons why we're seeing our data compromised, and it's going to be available globally, it's not just because of Dr. June, but with the partnerships that are going on through SAS, through Google, through Apple, through Microsoft, through every one of those. Homebase is also the North Carolina Ed Data Cloud. All these particular data systems are available to not just the school, not just the teacher, but to every state agency. The state agency then shares that data with every federal agency. And in and amongst every one of these data sharing entities, we also have what's known as the student longitudinal data system and the workforce quality data campaign. Now, both of these are federal entities that awarded every state money to build data mining systems to marry data between education and workforce in the name of jobs and economy. But where this goes globally is this particular information is available to any approved vendor or approved researcher or approved third or fourth or sometimes fifth or sixth party that's somehow connected in. And the reason why the data is so precious is because we're talking Pearson Publishing alone, which helped establish Homebase data system in North Carolina, and SAS now has it. But they stand to make a profit off of educational data in the next couple of years, somewhere upwards of $80 billion.
Wow. All the money.
And it's all about the money. But here's one thing we can tack all this data mining back to, and that was an executive order by President Obama, which pretty much opened up FERPA, which is the Family Protection Law. And I have a website called Child Abuse in the Classroom. It's not mine, but it's one I have access to. And I can give you every one of the loopholes that data miners are using because of that executive order by President Obama. And here's the bad news. President Trump has not rescinded this executive order. So until it gets rescinded, all this data mining will continue. And it, again, it's not just our students, it's our teachers. But let's think about this realistically. Those laptops, those Chromebooks, those iPads go home with you. It has been documented that while that particular device is in your home, your entire family's privacy, freedom is compromised because of the things that can be farmed off that tablet being in a certain location.
Right. They have access to the cameras, the microphones.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, when I don't use my camera on my laptop, I have it covered up because you know what? It's my house. What I do in my house is my business as protected by the Constitution, and that's where I'm going to leave it.
All right. Well, we've talked about a lot of the dangers of this. Can you try to elaborate for me, because I have a hard time understanding why
Sure.
so many of our educators are on board with it and promoting it?
Okay, there's going to be a couple of reasons. First of all, if you look at all of the classrooms, the ones who are older are in the minority, and you have a huge, huge population of educators who are fresh out of college. Now, I know being in this state, we have a lot of good things. We also have a lot of things that we would love to change. Western Carolina University is still known nationwide as one of the best colleges for students to go to get teaching degrees. Now, when my daughter was in Western, she was in a totally different program, but she had lots of friends who were at the College for Education there. By the time they graduated, they were and got their bachelor's degrees. They were miserable. And you know why? Because all they had learned their entire 4 years was how to teach in one way only, and that was to a test to satisfy the Common Core state standards. Every bit of variety that they came into that college with to want to lead and to teach and to help young minds grow got indoctrinated with this system. So that's one of the ways. We're also having huge corporate lobbyists spend millions of dollars influencing not only federal legislation, but state legislation as well. Case in point, go back to that Senate bill that I was telling you about. The reason the whole Senate bill was there was because of who? Friday Institute. So if we can get the educrats out of education and we can give it back to the teachers, we can give it back to the parents, the school board, that would be the ideal solution. But this is why everyone is so influenced, because they're getting their information, or they're being bought out, basically, from those who are in the agenda. Yes, Kim?
I read an article today by Jane Robbins, and she has highlighted some testing initiatives that have come out recently that have to do with the data mining that you were referring to. And there
yes.
was actually a competition between some data mining companies on how best to try to assess the social emotional learning of kids.
Right.
And one of the ribbon winners was evaluating the time taken by a student to answer a question. They were evaluating the timing of the keystrokes. And
right.
But what if you got to blow your nose? You know?
Well, now here's, and thank you for bringing that up. Jane's got some absolutely wonderful, valid points about this. Now, here's why another danger with the social and emotional. It's going to try to put into concrete, measurable form your characteristics, your emotions. Can you measure when you're mad? Can you honestly measure that concretely? No. You know you're mad, right? You know what makes you mad. You can feel yourself getting angrier. But to put that into a measurable thing that a computer can crunch into numbers and make it go on your record, because that's pretty much what this stuff is doing. It's going to make a record or a data profile known as a student profile for each student. And it's going to look at, the computer is going to watch your reaction. If you blow your nose, if you're starting to fidget in your seat, and all these things are going into your student profile. And pretty soon, guess what? It's going to notice, well, if you're fidgeting too much, ooh, you may have a behavior problem. If you have a behavior problem, guess what? You need behavior intervention. If you need behavior intervention, you need to have psychological things happen to you. Now, this is one of the realistic on-the-ground in ESA mandates, is that all the schools are going to, like this, with this whole school reform, all the schools will have to start putting into place the psychological intervention systems. And here's another thing. They're not getting psychologists to administer the programs. They're getting teachers to administer the programs. So think of it this way. I'm going to go to my dentist and tell him that I need heart surgery. Would I want my dentist to do the heart surgery? No, I wouldn't. A teacher needs to teach, not to give quasi-common core, psychologically damaging interventions.
Right. And all that data, that psychological data that's being collected here by the computer, is going to be available throughout their lives to every potential employer that they
yes.
go to. So,
absolutely.
Hal's got a quick question.
I don't have a question. Yeah. I wanted to recognize Kim Fink for all the research and the knowledge that she gained, that she put in on Common Core, to the point that we spent the better part of 2 days with Dr. June Atkins, Superintendent of Public Instructions, and debated her point by point. And Kim had primed us so well, and she herself had huge notebooks that she could reach right in to prove a point with the Superintendent of Public Instruction and turn it to it. I mean, it was pretty doggone amazing, and I've been in awe of that ever since it happened, really.
Right.
Thank you, Hal.
scores of notebooks, unfortunately.
We're going to have to take another break here and hear from our sponsors. We'll be back and continue this conversation.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. For fresh, delicious seafood, come to Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro. We've got a big variety to choose from. Do you like shrimp, scallops, salmon? We've got them. We've got all sorts of fish. Right now, come for the soft-shell crabs from our place. Sausage and salmon we've smoked with pecan wood, devil crabs, and even peanuts we boil ourselves. You can also pick up seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sauces at Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 till 6.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
What do marine navigation systems, automatic firearms, diesel engines, and home-long sprinklers have in common? Force 5, that's what. Force 5 was created to stop weapons from jamming in sandy Afghanistan, but it can do a lot more. Force 5 solves marine and firearms problems caused by rust, salt water, and corrosion. To clean, lubricate, protect, get Force 5. Anything else is a waste of time. Call Ernie at 252-670-0728 or go to force5-marine.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Rainer, during the break, you had an excellent question because homeschoolers is the population of homeschoolers here in North Carolina is just growing by leaps and bounds. Could you repeat that question?
Sure. Lynn, what I want to know is how can they make homeschoolers and private schools adhere to these things? I don't understand what leverage they have. I can't imagine giving in to that kind of nonsense. What's going on?
Okay, excellent question. Let me share with you guys. Now, I know a lot of people who follow me regularly know this, but not everybody does. I was a homeschool mom of 23 years, graduated all three of them with honors, and it wasn't that I just felt sorry for them and gave it to them. I made my kids work their buns off to get those. Those who went to college got scholarships, so, you know, that was great, fun, and wonderful. My last one graduated in 2015, so I had 23 years under my belt. I tried to get all of them finished before Common Core became law of the land. Didn't quite work, but that's okay. God's been really good in protecting them. But my point in bringing this up, Rainier, is because I was a homeschool parent. I was coming at this from a, okay, this stuff is coming down the pike. How is this going to impact not just my family, but the thousands and millions of people across this land who have taken that choice to homeschool their kids? One of the ways that they're getting brought into this whole system is through the assessments. Now, let me back up just a little bit. In 2013, I was before the General Assembly, my youngest and I, and we were trying to fight a losing battle, which was to keep the legal definition of homeschooling in North Carolina the way it was. It had served us well for 25 plus years, and we had access to absolutely everything, and it was legal, and, you know, we were one of the only states in the in the entire nation who had some of the wonderful freedoms that we had. We had 100% freedom to do what we wanted, but because someone had an agenda, the definition got changed. And, you know, one of the arguments that gave was you cannot improve on 100% freedom. You just can't. You have 100%. Anyway, the point of it is one of the legislators got up in that meeting. I kid you not with what I'm about to say. He said, we want to change the law so that we purposely blur the lines between home education and traditional education. Because if we blur the lines, they have more access to programs they've been denied. We were not denied anything in this state. If we wanted to go, you know, we baskets all year, we could do that. But because the line was blurred, it now opened the door for the North Carolina Virtual Public System. It opened the door for, okay, now that you're going to be in the North Carolina Virtual Public System, should you choose to, you get a unique identifier number. Now, every child, no matter where they are in the educational system, and this even goes to adults, no matter what age you are, you enter into a North Carolina public system. You get a unique identifier number that tracks you from your education to your job. Another way homeschoolers are getting thrown into this is through the assessments. The more we have nationally normed assessments, the more they're going to switch over and be aligned. And, you know, for years we tested way better than our peers in other educational choices, but we're going to see those numbers actually start to flip. And Dr. Duke Pesta has shared this type of information as well. So it's through influence, through assessment. The feeling of you're going to be left behind has been drummed into our parents. So, yes, this is why parents are signing up for digital. This is why parents are saying, you know what, during the consequences, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get this assessment done. And these are ways that parents are actually helping the system snatch their child.
Wow. In this last part of the show, I want to go over not so much what the problems are, but what some of the solutions are. And Diane, I see, has a question. She, you are a teacher, so.
Retired. First, I want to go back to that Obama executive order as maybe a solution. He likes to tweet. What if we could start a tweeting campaign? If you can get us a link to that executive order, and if everybody can tweet, get others to tweet, you know, Donald Trump or President Trump, why won't you, rescind this executive order?
I will answer that, Diane, with there is a national campaign already going on. In fact, there will be a press conference on the 20th of September. There will be one in Indianapolis, Indiana, which is Vice President Pence's backyard. And then there'll be one in Austin, Texas. And the whole goal of this national campaign is to not only repeal ESSA, but to restore FERPA and rescind that particular executive order in the process. So we've already got that particular campaign going. It's childabuseintheclassroom.com, and we can link that to you.
All right. Well, you earlier you mentioned the teachers and the parents, turning things back over to them. The parents, it's an interesting thing to me because in our fight against Common Core, we attended a number of school board meetings. Kim and Glenn were always there, but we very rarely ever saw any parents in attendance except there when their child was getting an award. They hold a big event, they pass out awards to all these kids, all the parents are there, and then when they're done with that, they take a break before they get to the actual business, and all the parents get up with their kids and leave.
They kind of invite them to leave.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So what's it going to take to get parents involved, to get them to understand that they've got to take this education system back, take control of it, and get it back for their children's right. sake?
I think from my research standpoint, I would say no parent is going to get involved until they literally see the stuff hit the fan in their house.
But then it's the damage awful. Is already done.
I understand that. But here's the thing. We've got so many people who are so busy with work and so busy with life. And, you know, the way that things are going, yeah, it's taken everybody in the house to work to be able to pay the bills. Just today, my husband and I were talking about, you know, with the healthcare thing, there are changes going on at his work, and it's like, okay, everything's going to go to healthcare, nothing's going to be left to pay the bills. So my point is that if the parents would please get invested in and listen to things like this, and if you find something you don't agree with, instead of fussing about it, do some research, find out where you can plug in, get involved with what's going on at school. You know, question everything. You've got to.
Right. Well, I think a good start would be educating themselves. So can you share with us I've already shared your Facebook page, other resources.
Okay. You can find me on social media on Twitter. It's at Common Core Diva. My blog is www.commoncorediva.wordpress.com. I'm on Facebook under at Common Core Diva as well. And one of the things that I wanted to touch on real quick is parents have got to understand when they hear these educratic terms like school choice. School choice per ESSA is moot, and here's why. On page 17 of the law, all education must be aligned to one set of standards. End of choice. That now we have all the choice in the world right now. We have private school, homeschool, public school, parochial school. We've got all kinds of choices. That is going to be a moot point once ESSA is fully implemented. Another danger will be those education savings accounts, because instead of your taxpayer dollars going to where you choose, it's going to have the money follow the child. When we have a child put in the responsibility seat for things they're not ready for, that's damaging. So these are things parents have got to know the facts on. Those two things are in conversation right now, and they are two of the biggest setups to fail for our nation.
Well, Lynn, we're about out of time here. We appreciate your time, not just that you spent with us here this evening, but, you know, you have put countless hours into research and into this fight, and I want you to know we appreciate that. And support your efforts 100%. And we look forward to having you back sometime in the near future to keep us updated on what's going on with this very important issue. And I want to appeal to the parents that are listening today. If you are not involved with your child's education, you really need to be. Don't fall into just turning it all over to the school system and making them. I read a quote today, ironically enough. If you think the government is capable and the best thing for taking care of you and your children? Talk to the American Indians.
Oh, gosh. Uh-huh. Very good. Very good. Well, thank you guys so much.
Well, thank you. Enjoyed having you with us, and we'll be talking with you soon. All right. Well, that's all the time we have here today for CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, this show is repeated at 8 p.m. If you want to share it with some of your friends and neighbors, please call them and tell them, hey, you've got to listen to this.
Patronize our sponsors.
That's right. Visit our sponsors and tell them that you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
Revolution, restoration, or stay the course. A call to action presented by historian and legal activist John Ainsworth. Sponsored by Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, Tuesday, September 19th, 7 p.m., downtown New Bern Stanley Hall Ballroom. America is in a death spiral, economically, morally, and in liberty. Our Constitution has been violated, the federal government is out of control, and we struggle to find answers. Join 20-plus year historian, legal activist, and dynamic speaker John Ainsworth as he shares his in-depth knowledge of shocking events in America, which have reversed the nature of citizenship and have eliminated state rights. Finally, learn about a grassroots counter-revolutionary movement in which you can participate to take America back to her foundation. That's Tuesday, September 19th, downtown New Bern Stanley Hall Ballroom, sponsored by Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. Visit www.cctaxpayers.com for more information.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
There's something for everyone at Stingray Cafe in New Bern. For the seafood lover, there are oysters, shrimp, scallops, clams, crabs, snow crab legs, and a wide variety of fish. Not in the mood for seafood? How about a salad, a burger, beef brisket, or some good old hickory smoked barbecue? There's even a menu section for folks 10 and younger. Open 7 days a week, the Stingray Cafe on South Front Street in New Bern, just across the street from the History Center.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. The CCTA appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Stingray Cafe, South Front Street, New Bern, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Force 5 Marine Saltwater Corrosion Inhibitor. Join us again next week at this time for your wake-up call from the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, online at cctaxpayers.com.